May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It's great to be up here this morning with the pulpit so beautifully decorated and with such a good view of all the displays. I didn't notice at 8 o'clock, but I've noticed now and I've been warned there's a lot of barbed wire amongst these flowers, and I think that well illustrates what Guy said at the beginning, that we have a lot to celebrate this week, but there are also some dreadful things happening, and this is the barbed wire amongst the flowers. I must say, I also echo Guy's comment from last week, as I wonder if I'm preaching the right sermon for today, having heard the dreadful news of the murder of Joe Cox, and with each day bringing further news of man's inhumanity to man. As we saw in the passage from Luke, destructive forces are everywhere and are the fruit of a broken world. But there's no power which is out of God's control. We see God's saving power in the person and work of Jesus. Faith is the key to the new kingdom. God can and does work through us to make a better world. My theme today is liberation in Jesus. Have you noticed how much there is in today's newspapers and magazines about self-improvement? We're always being urged to eat more healthily, update our wardrobes, learn a new skill, re-examine our relationships, and so on. We can end up feeling guilty and behind the times for staying in an apparent rut. Should we really always be striving to make ourselves better people? In our spiritual lives too, we may be wondering if we're doing everything we should as Christians. We may be thinking along the lines of, should I be attending more prayer meetings? Perhaps I should be helping out with the Sunday clubs. Have I been reading my Bible? Do I give enough to charity? Do I give enough time to God in personal prayer and meditation? Whatever it is, we just end up feeling guilty, don't we? The truth is, trying to make ourselves better Christians, trying to earn brownie points, isn't the way to think about our Christian lives. It reminds me of a recurring dream I have around the end of May, early June, even though I've not sat any exams for years. It's exam time again. Panic. Have I done enough revision to get the grades I need? I can't go out and enjoy the sunshine because the need for revision is a big weight that lies on my shoulders. It casts a shadow over everything else. Do you remember those days? Or perhaps you're one of those who has been going through this in recent weeks. There's always more revision to be done, isn't there? Because you never know if you've done enough. So however hard you work, everything is tainted by the fact that you could be doing more. Revision is no fun. There's no joy in it. However, there does come a time when you're sitting your final exam and the teacher says, please finish the sentence you're writing, pens down, and the summer holidays begin. What a moment. The passage from Paul's letter to the Galatians is all about that moment. It's all about Paul giving us a spiritual experience that's even greater than the end of exams. He's telling us, good news, people, exams are over. It's holiday time. You don't need to strive and strive, never knowing if you're good enough. You don't need to feel guilty. You don't need to wonder whether God's happy with you. You can know that you've passed with flying colours. School is finished. You can stop all the guilt and anxiety and enjoy the sunshine of God's grace forever. That's what Paul wants to tell us. But we might ask, what is the school that's finished? Paul says that the law of Moses was like the schoolmaster, but now we're free from that law. The Old Testament law was put in charge of God's people like a teacher preparing us for our exams, preparing us for graduation, preparing us for a time when we'd no longer need the law. We all know that it's impossible for us to keep even the Ten Commandments, let alone the other 613 laws, and we end up feeling guilty. But it's this law that makes obvious the sins for which we need forgiveness. It makes us despair of ourselves and trust in Jesus. The law convicts us of sin and testifies to the forgiveness that is in Jesus Christ. The law is all about pointing away from itself and pointing towards the promised Messiah. Verse 26, in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. God the Father sent his Son into the world. Jesus came as one of us. He shares utterly in our humanity. He joins us in our kind of life 100%. Why does he do it? The Son of God puts himself under all the obligations of the law. God the Son became God our brother and gave to God everything that we owe. All the praise, all the obedience, all the sacrifice, all the prayer, everything that we owe, Jesus paid. He put himself under the law and he obeyed the law perfectly in our place. He did it so that we might receive everything that's coming to him, that we might receive the full rights of sons, that we can be treated how he deserves to be treated. He did it so that everything coming to him can come to us if we're prepared to trust him and unite ourselves with him. What amazing love. Paul gives us three results of being so united with Jesus. The first we've already heard. We become children, sons of God. We no longer fear him, dreading the punishment we deserve because we failed to obey the law. We love him with the affection that a child feels for a parent. In Jesus Christ, God has accepted and forgiven us. Secondly, in Jesus Christ, we are all one. We belong not only to God as his sons and daughters, but to each other as brothers and sisters. And we belong to each other in such a way as to render of no account the things which normally distinguish us, namely nationality, race, rank, and gender. How appropriate our flower festival theme is. When Jesus came, God's promise was fulfilled that in Abraham's seed all the families on earth would be blessed. So the third result of being united with Jesus is that we all become Abraham's seed. We find our place in the unfolding purpose of God. We become heirs of the promise which God made to Abraham. So what do we need to do in order to receive this inheritance? We don't have to pass a series of tests and get good grades. We don't have to live the perfect Christian life. No need to fret about all the things we ought to be doing. No, all we need to do is put our faith and trust in Jesus, and we are united with him. That's what baptism is about, a sign of union with Jesus. Those baptized into Christ have clothed themselves with Christ. Remember that scene from the prodigal son, when the errant son comes home and the father welcomes him and clothes him in his finest robe. The robe would have covered over a lot of filth. The prodigal son had been in a pigsty. He was dirty and smelly and ugly. But with the robe on, he looked like royalty. That's you and me. Dirty, smelly, ugly, but clothed with Christ. Jesus is wrapped around us. And verse 29, we belong to Christ. In the words of the prophet Isaiah, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. Jesus puts his name on us. He owns us, and now everything that's his is ours. And that includes his place in the Trinity. Amazing, but true. At the beginning of the next chapter, Paul explains, because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. What on earth did we do to deserve such a privilege? We did absolutely nothing. Jesus did everything. He sat the test for us. He passed with flying colors. Because of what Jesus did, God sees us as we see these flowers this morning. Beautiful, fragrant, worthy of admiration. And now the Lord says, pens down. Let the summer begin. You're free, free as a child of God, free with the righteousness of Christ, free with the Spirit within you. You'll never be tested again. You have passed with flying colors. So shall we pray? Lord, we're all tempted to live under the law again. We're always checking that we've done enough to qualify for salvation. Help us to know that we have an A star in Jesus Christ. Help us to keep returning to the gospel. Some of us are always worrying that some small transgression will disqualify us. Help us to know that Christ's blood covers all sins. Some of us have lost our joy. Restore us to the joy of your salvation. Some of us feel enslaved by our Christianity. Show us the real gospel, the true liberation that lives not under the law, but in Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.